episode 135, Converting Through Persuasion with Irvin Howe.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast, the only podcast giving you actionable skills and advice you need to execute a strategic PR program. Warning, what you hear next may lead to brand awareness and increased sales and customer exposure. Now here's your host, Ringini Joshua.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about persuasion and what keeps attention and really how to convert leads on your website and in other ways. So I'd love to hear first a little bit about your background, and then we'll kind of dive into a little bit about Chromatic's Conversion Cow and some tips that you might be able to offer the listeners.
No, love to. Well, my name's Irwin, as in Steve Irwin. As you can tell, the reference even tells that I'm from Australia. In Melbourne. So thank you for understanding my accent. I come from an ad agency background. So I've always grown up in advertising. I did my master's in advertising. And so I actually worked for the two top ad agencies here in Melbourne, Weiner and BBDO, so Clemenger. So rather than work for the man, I thought I'd be the man and do my own thing. And it was actually in the back of the end of the GFC, I think it was. Yeah, end of the GFC. Tough time. Not a great time to start a business, but hey, you know, I had a bit of a dream. Got bitten by the entrepreneur bug, and I thought I'd jump into making websites. And so I actually teamed up with my best mate. He's still my best mate. Though he's not in the business anymore, but love him to bits and stuff like that. We grew up together. We actually met in church together and stuff like that. We started this business making $300 websites. Can you believe it? $300. Wow. I think our hourly rate's like $300 now or whatever it is. But I still remember that first website. It was absolute joy. And we kind of just grew from there. And now it's 2023 and here we are. So, yeah.
Yeah. If people look at the website, if you go to chromatics.com.au, I believe.
Yeah.
If you look at the website itself, it's very eye-catching. I watched some of your testimonials, and I mean, I think one of the biggest things as a startup founder or someone who's diving into messaging and trying to create lots of materials that are converting at the same time, right? You're trying to, I mean, the purpose of PR is to really to get people to go to your website. But I always tell our clients, I can't navigate what they do after that. Once they get to I can get them to the website, 100%. But what they do after that is your job. So what do you find is like kind of like this key element? And I like the idea of incorporating psychology into your website development process. So what do you find are the key elements to like a good website?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I want to touch on something you said. There's only one formula you need to know in marketing, which is traffic times conversion rate equals customers. So PR is a fantastic traffic method, like AdWords, SEO, and all those other fun marketing bits. But like you mentioned, if someone's coming to your website and they don't call you or get in touch with you, then what is the point? Anyway, well, when you are on the website, what are some tips? So we actually call our 5 C's conversion framework, and it actually stands for capture, clarity, content, credibility, and close. And if that sounds too complicated, let's take a step back. Think about the best first date you've ever been on, right? Mm-hmm. You would have been all dressed to the T's and stuff like that. You're sitting there patiently waiting. The person walks through the door. You've got their attention. As they sit down, you introduce yourself. Hi, my name's Irwin, and this is what I do. And you tell them who you are, what you do. Obviously, you know, as the food and wine's coming and stuff, you kind of press into that a little bit more, and you kind of think, okay, mm-hmm. Well, you told me you run an agency, or you've read this book, or you're interested in this hobby. Tell me more about that. And at the end, with your sweaty hands, and you know, as you're just get nervous and stuff, you kind of ask, hey, would you mind going on that second date, or would you be interested in going out again? I mean, no one pitches marriage off the bat.
Right.
What I just told you is actually not how I met my missus and stuff like that, but I actually explained the normal human psychology or just how people make decisions, which really is capture, clarity, the content, credibility to prove what I said was actually true, and then a close of sorts to get to that next phase. So just think about the best first date you've ever been on. I used to say first date, but then people be like, you kind of get these weird reactions. Oh, no, I don't remember that. You know, I don't want that one. Best first date, That's how you should approach your website. Because your website, as much as it is a marketing tool, a salesperson, it's actually almost, it's the same as dating. You're here to get someone's attention and to kind of court them through that process. And let's be honest, how many websites have you been on? They have that big form. The moment you come to it, bam, there's a form. That's like someone, my partner walking in, I'm dressed, you know, nicely, and I just go, hey, marry me, you know? Whoa, Ellen, you know? That's a little, I mean, I know I'm pretty forward.
A little aggressive.
Just a little bit too forward, you know, sort of thing. So, and everyone is, there's a line that says everyone's happy to buy. They just don't want to be sold to. And I think we just need to go through that natural, and let's be honest, emotional connection first. Before we get to that logical connection, then we can actually make that kind of hand connection. And we call it our heart, head, and hands hierarchy and stuff. It always starts with the heart, then to the head, then to the hands and stuff. And that's, it's as simple as that. And so it's now knowing how to translate that psychology theory principle into the practical of how we design a website. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's really, really smart. And it really just kind of goes down, like you said, to the basics. You compared it to a first date. I think that's a great way to do it. And I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, you do the same thing. You were mentioning, what did you say earlier? You were talking about different mediums, same technique. And PR is the same way. When we're talking to different reporters, we're putting our best foot forward for that particular reporter and then changing that tone for a different reporter. But the same message comes out of both of those conversations.
100%, 100%. The techniques are all the same and stuff, no matter what the medium. Maybe PR, you're running an AdWords campaign, you've just done a print ad in the newspaper or a website. You know, there's a couple of key base kind of techniques that are the same. I mean, making sure you have a strong headline, knowing how to get some attention in just a couple of words. Oh, Ellen, let me tell you about me. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? Too long did not read. It's way too long. If you cannot say what you do and the value you give on a website in less than 10 words, you really have to rethink what you're all about and stuff like that, right? You can't just keep waffling on and on and on. And like a joke, if I have to explain the joke, it's a bad joke. In the same way, if I explain that headline, oh, this is what I actually meant by blah, blah. You know what? My wife says it the best. She actually says to me, Ellen, what are you trying to say? Like, I've read this long, long line. What are you trying to say? Well, I was just trying to say this. Well, why didn't you just say that in the first place?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And so there's a fun technique I usually teach my clients. I actually call it 5 words for my five-year-old. It's actually when she was five. I said, if you can't say what you do in 5 words to my five-year-old that she would understand, then I think we're, okay, now she's 10. So 10 words for your 10-year-old, right? Then really, is it really that clear? Because if you can't even explain what you do, if you can't even get your attention, if that PR headline won't even grab your attention, it's not going to get anyone else's attention. In the same breath, if I'm on your website and I have no idea who you are, what you do, I don't care if you've got all the proof in the world and, you know, your service is great, price is right, whatever it is. I can't get past that first part. It's kind of going on that, think about that first date again. Imagine walking on that first date and you kind of see me and you're like, oh, it's Erwin. You know, quickly keep walking and stuff. You know, you've got to get through that first door first, right? Hopefully I don't look that bad, but you've got to get through that first, right, with the capture. Because let's be honest, just saying, oh, I was like this and just sitting there really sloppy and stuff. You wouldn't even get to the second, third, fourth, fifth phase.
Right, absolutely.
So step by step. It's very methodical.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, you're preaching to the choir. I feel like we do try to remind our clients, you know, when you're messaging, you're not messaging to yourself. These people don't know you. You're not drinking. Like, these people haven't been inundated with the brand or the business for a certain number of time. You have to get to the audience that you're looking for. And a lot of people, I think, get into this little bit of a bubble of, oh, of course, this is the greatest thing since, you know, whatever, since Nutella. So they want to believe that, and it's great. It's good to have belief in what you're doing, but I also think, you know, it's really important to have, I don't know, check your ego at some point and say, like, okay, no, like you said, I usually say explaining it to your grandmother, but explaining it to your 10-year-old works too.
Well, I think it's this, if we can just simplify things, it just makes it simple for everyone, you know. And unfortunately, common sense is so common. That's why I have a job, I guess. So we're just going to bring it back to its basics. Keep it simple. We're done. So
I love that. I love that. So I have a couple of questions and I might come up with some more. The first question's a little bit kind of out there. So hopefully you could give me a little bit of insight. But can you tell us a little bit about what you found out over the years about user habits, things that make people leave? Like what things that would we find surprising? Like how much time do you have to capture attention? That kind of stuff. You know, any kind of little things like that, tidbits that might be surprising to people that turn people off.
Yeah. I always describe it like this. I imagine there is this thing called the annoyance meter. And I'm just going to, I'll use my arm and stuff like that because you can actually see me. So this is how it works. It's like a little timer, right? So the annoyance meter, this is how the game works, right? The moment you jump on a website, the timer comes down, but when you release it, it slowly kind of ticks like a clock and goes ding, you know, kind of hits the top.
Yeah.
And when it hits the top, we leave, right? And this, the speed of this, the more annoyed we get, the faster it goes up, right? And the moment I go bang, I leave, okay? So I'm on a website. Oh, I come down.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I start looking, the site loads, oh, my hand's off. And it slowly goes this, like it's naturally, because we have this natural urgency to just want information really quick. So site doesn't load quickly. Can't see anything, ding, I'm off, right?
Yeah.
I come, the messaging isn't clear, don't know what they do, have no idea, doesn't solve my problem, ding. I come down, I see little triggers of images that look random, it's abstract, ding, gone. I come down, they claim all these things, but there's no proof or facts of what they're saying, ding. I come down, but the site doesn't look so secure because certain parts are broken and a bit janky and stuff like, ding, they leave and stuff. And so this is what we have to fight against. It's the combination of all these things. So imagine the site doesn't load, the pictures are pixelated, the copy doesn't read well, it's a wall of text, there's no credibility, no proof, no call to action, don't know where to go and stuff. Literally, you just go, bam, it just goes straight up, right?
Sure.
Our job is to go, come to the website, ooh, intriguing headline. It actually resets. We can actually reset it by intriguing someone. Ooh, that video is really cool. Oh, that testimony. Ooh, okay. And as long as they get off somewhere, oh, call to action. Great. Jumped on the call. Good. Because I've already left now.
Yeah.
And if we kind of just picture that, what would not annoy our customer, what would annoy you? What annoys me? What makes me jump on a website? And so the usual suspects, when we're playing a Family Feud and stuff, a top number one answer is your site doesn't even load. Because I don't care how good the content is, if it doesn't even load, right? So hosting, making sure that it runs quickly. That's why Google pushes those site speeds, not just for SEO purposes, but for user experiences, right?
Right.
Say your website has the best images and stuff like that, but I still don't know what value you give. Remember, it's articulated on message, right? It could be a layout issue. You know what? All the information's there, but it's kind of like, have you ever had a chef with all the right ingredients, but they're just put in the wrong order? No.
What do I look at first?
Yeah, it's like a buffet. Yeah. You know, when I go to a buffet, oh, analysis paralysis, there's so many goodies. I don't know what to do, right? But it's all good food. I went to a lovely buffet the other time, but sorry, just thinking about that. It's all the combination of all these things that we just need to make sure, hey, let's not annoy someone, and let's just reset it or even slow it down. You can slow down with intrigue. You can slow it down with emotional elements that kind of draw someone back in because you're utilizing words or numbers or statistics, or testimonials, and our logos of awards, partners, accreditations, associations, leveraging off other goodwill things, you know? Even a smiley face, you know, can change like an image of something smiling as opposed to just a blank abstract object. Can actually make a difference. Because remember, emotion first, logic second, action third. That's it.
Yeah. No. Well, that actually leads nicely into my second question. Because people are getting less and less patient, more and more distracted, how can you keep up your website? I mean, like how, I guess my question would be, I like to redo my website pretty much every year, but you know, what is a pace where you can manage an update? Do you have to continuously be updating your website? Like how frequently do you have to do that so that you can attend to these shifting like needs of people?
Yeah, no, for sure. I always say, and always ask the question, how often do you get your teeth checked? How often do you get your car serviced and stuff like that? It's embarrassing. And I had one guy say, I've never had my teeth checked. I'm like, and like suddenly he was like, talking like this, and you do, you know. And so the reason why I ask is this: you don't have to get your car serviced. You could just buy the car and say, I'm done. But I don't know about you, but if we just think of the website as just a check off, I've done, listen, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong. But if your perspective is your website is actually your strongest sales tool, and the more I refine it with the one percenters and keep fixing it, I'm going to get a higher conversion rate. So if you have that kind of progress kind of attitude, the answer should actually be you're always updating your website. You're always tweaking. It's like doing that kind of A-B testing and stuff. Oh, actually, was that headline good? Maybe I'll just change that one. Maybe I'll just A-B test that. Or maybe that image, let me have a rethink. Because the more attention we can get, I mean, that's our currency at the end of the day. Attention,
right.
The action. And so to me, you should always build your website for growth. So in some way, I don't just buy a house. If I just say, my missus and I say we had no kids, I don't just buy a one-bedroom house. We build with room to grow, just in case we have one child, two children, that kind of thing, right? Once you've had the two, then you might want to go a bit bigger and stuff it, all right? You don't just fit just enough. And so same way when you build your website, feel very free to do this yourself. If I was to build my website for now and a little bit of the future, what would it look like? And what could I change without having changed the whole structure every time? Because changing the whole website is very expensive.
Yeah.
But you might go, maybe I'll allow myself to change images to keep this looking fresh. Might just change the words here. I might have something that I can keep up to date, like the testimonial bar. You know, I think you mentioned on my website and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Feel free, anyone listening, to check it out. But there's some videos, right? I can update those videos all the time. So it kind of feels fresh, though. It's still the same site, same sections, but just different words, different content. So content's an easy way to keep things up to date. That's why we ask, especially web developers, not to hard code a lot of things, because it just makes it hard for you. To keep things fresh.
So. Well, I mean, that's the other thing is like, you know, depending on what platform you end up using, if you're using WordPress, I remember, I work on one of our client sites on WordPress. I update the blog and things like that. At one point, I couldn't do anything. Everything I did broke the website. So after a while, they like did something and they made some changes so that it would be easily done and I could just update the blog very easily. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things is like not to have someone do your website that's going to do something where you can't update it at some point or somebody else can't update it at some point. I think that's a tricky thing. Sometimes that does happen where you get stuck in this little problem.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, let's just keep everything basic, because as I'm just processing all this, I'm just thinking, you know what, keep a website really simple, really basic. Mm-hmm. Don't overdo it. And here's the key word, intentional. Be intentional with every part on the website. I mean, it kind of like my outfit. My wife was saying, hey, if you don't need the square pocket, don't add it. Like just get rid of it and stuff. You know, if you don't need don't have all this bling. You know those people who just put on everything they have. Like so here, this and this. Erwin, less is more.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't serve a purpose, get rid of it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. That's absolutely true. Well. Can we talk a little bit about your conversion, Cal? Because I'm interested in what you were mentioning, and we haven't talked about it yet. And I think it's a very cool little tool that you've come up with. So can you give us a little bit of insight on that?
Yeah, no, for sure. So again, taking the idea that your website is your best salesperson, right? The thing I've noticed and where the idea came from was, have you ever noticed, by the way, that all marketing, maybe PR, AdWords, SEO, newspaper ad, you know, billboard, whatever, even handing a business card at an expo or seeing someone at a networking meeting, it always drives back to one thing, your website. So your website has to be your best sales tool. But if I said to everyone, hey, can you all update your websites with these 5 C's and this heart, head, hands thing, and you got to, that's overwhelming, right? Not only is that overwhelming, it's expensive. Because let's be honest, I think the average, you know, web developer nowadays, 150 to 300, you know, per hour, for agencies and stuff like it, maybe even more for high end, maybe you know, lower if you're freelance. I totally understand. But when you add up the dollars and stuff like that, you know, if a working day is 7.5 hours, that's a bit of money, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be making that many changes because changes do take time. It's kind of like building a house. Rome wasn't built in a day, a house wasn't built in a day either, you know, sort of thing. So we, after running this service based agency for so long, have decided and have worked out we can actually productize what we do. And so what we want to do at the end of the day, was take our secret sauce, put it all in the one area, and then after that, put it as a pop-out on site. So what we've done with Conversion Cows, we can actually create little pop-out pages that appear on any page of your website, can be built by anyone and stuff like that. And you can actually feature sales messages. And not only do you feature sales messages, you can actually feature customized sales messages. So the sales messages change as you go to different parts of your website. So where the idea came from was actually, I was actually in Hong Kong when I was young. I walked into a department store with my father. A lady out of nowhere, she kind of just like the homeless sense, kind of just drifted out like this and said, "Hi, welcome to our department store." Young man, I was 10 year old at the time. Young man, you seem pretty sporty. I wasn't, by the way. You seem pretty sporty. The sports equipment is on that side, and we've got 10% off today on sports equipment. She then turned to my father and said, "Gentlemen, I love your suit. Did you know gentlemen's suits buy one, get one free today and stuff? And it's on this level."
She's a very proactive sales lady.
Well, she was wonderful, actually. And then she kind of just hovered and faded away like Homer Simpson into the head, if you know that one, right? So she's kind of like that meme. She just, she wasn't intrusive. She was very gentle. She said what she needed to each one of us and then walked away. Imagine she had actually said to my father, "Hey, I think you need some sports equipment." Or imagine she actually said to me, "Hey, Erwin, as a 10-year-old, buy one, get one free suits." The wrong message to the wrong person, even at the right time, is going to be useless. And so what I learned is if we can deliver, like that lady, the right message to the right person at the right time, you have a high chance to convert. And so we've now created this tool that allows you to do that. And you can also set up some special conditions. So that, you know, if you come back to a website, it shows you another message. If you go at a certain particular time, it will show a different message. If you go to a specific page or even day of the week and stuff like that, it will show you a different message. And if we can do that, and like you said before, if we have the attitude of not about us but about someone else, and have those messages right there. So it doesn't say, "Hey, we want to sell you some sports equipment," but "Hey, be the best in basketball with the latest blah, blah, blah," and however it speaks to me, and I'm looking, that's so me, you know, and I kind of move towards the light, and I think we're in the right place. So it's really customized pop-ups that appear on any page of your website to help you convert and increase your chances of getting a lead. So that's it.
Is there a rule to limiting the number of pop-ups? Because I can imagine anybody could be.
I know some people who go a bit cray cray with the rules and stuff like that. But we, I mean, there is a set limit and stuff like that to the whole system. So this is not like, you know, I mean, pop-up we try city. To. The main one's actually based on number of impressions. So when you start with a plan with us, it's monthly, there's no contracts. But what happens is you have a set number of hits on your site. And then obviously, the more you have a set number, so I'll say, you know, 5,000, 10,000 hits and stuff. If you exceed that, you go to the next plan, you know, sort of thing. So, because we don't want someone like a Target or something like that, or Target to have, you know, mean people go to them. And a small business unit has like 100 people go to their website.
Right.
You know, you got to.
No, I guess more what I'm talking about as a person who's creating a site who wants to use the pop-ups, should I limit the number of pop-ups I incorporate into what I'm doing?
Yeah, no, I think it's a bit of a Goldilocks moment, I call it. I mean, you don't want too much or too little. You want that kind of just right, because there is a point where that even the lady, the Homer Simpson lady who kind of hovers in it, even she can get really annoying after a while.
Right.
She can, like every single, it's like okay, I get it, you know? And so I would A-B test, which again, we can do in our system, or even just test different messages, different number of conditions. I wouldn't turn on everything. That's like me trying to put on my best suit and wear all of them and go out and say, no, just one suit at a time. Try that outfit. Did it work? No. Take it off. Next one. And away we go. So
to me, this sounds like a full-time job, which scares me. How much time should someone be investing in really managing and kind of catering this experience to have the best user outcome?
My answer to this is a question, which is how important. And again, just talking about website, being a sales person or sales tool, how important is closing and converting for you on a website? And the truth is, too many people spend so much money on the marketing side, getting people to their website, spending money on PR, SEO, AdWords, social, whatever it is, not realizing that the issue has never been this side. Because this side is actually great. It's expensive too, by the way, because you're paying per month or per campaign or whatever it is. Uh-huh. This side is actually just once off. So just, rather than seeing it as marketing and website, let's just see it as water and a leaky bucket. So my question is, how much time do you spend on fixing the holes in the bucket first before you get more water? But it's easy getting just water. Like, let's get this for sure. But you know, see these holes here? They're not going away. So if you like, so you got to try twice as hard. That's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is once off. Or at least, you know, not as frequent.
Fix the hole first. Fix the hole.
The leaky bucket first, then get more water. And if you can upgrade this and do that well, you'll be swimming in the water. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great tip. Okay. So I think you've given us a pretty good overview of, like, you know, what we should be paying attention to. But if you have any, like, let's say I wanted to update my website today, I wanted to look at it. What do you think are like the top things that I should, the kind of the top things that I should be looking at to improve the
practical tips. Let's do this. And for those who are listening and stuff, let's just take a moment to just open up a website, any website, your website, my website, whichever one is. I do prefer you open your website so you can actually analyze it, or even your competitors too, by the way.
Right.
So now you've got your website open. You're having a look at it. So before you even scroll up and down and it's just opened, did it get your attention? And is it clear on, assuming it's your website, are you clear with who you are, what you do? That's it. Let's not go any further. Who you are and what you do. I have too many people come to me with abstract backgrounds of sunsets and cityscapes. Or inspirational words that, you know, our strength is yours. Or, you know, some like words that, let's be honest, don't really
our
mean
our strength is yours. I love it.
What does that even mean? Right? You know, our dreams are your dreams. You know, like, great. Thank you. But my dream is to have a really good sales website. Anyway, so is it clear the moment you come to your website? If not, you got to change your message. That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, scroll up and down the website. Say it's your website or your competitors. Number two, does it look just generic? Does it feel like any other website? And so here's the game I want you to play. Scroll back to the top of your website.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to cover your logo. Just cover it. Or imagine taking your competitor, assuming you have a competitor's logo,
like,
and putting it on top of your logo.
Mm-hmm.
Does it actually look like their website? I mean, if the images are so generic, the words are generic, the words are so you know, top level. So say you're a plumber and you're just going, we're the best plumber, and we'll come. Everyone claims the same thing. You know, we're professional and on time and on service, which is what everyone else says. Is it different and unique enough that it represents you? So are you being like the best in something, or are you just like everyone else? So are you standing out? Number three, does your website give you confidence? Now, I'll ask you a really funny question. Would you call yourself?
Yeah.
Would you contact yourself? Are you even persuading yourself? Or did you just go, no, I just take the boss to my web developer, told me, get me some content. I got them content.
Yes.
If the website.
I always tell people when they're doing emails, same thing, right?
Yeah. Would you open the email? Would that headline get your attention? If it doesn't, right? Because. Yeah. Of course, you love what you do. If you love what you do and you still don't open it and you still don't engage or interact, imagine that guy or girl who doesn't know you as well and actually doesn't really care about you, let's be honest. So, and I know it sounds harsh, but no one actually cares about your business and what you do or who you are. They have a problem that they just want solved. And they're just wondering, can you solve their problem? And if you can, wonderful, let's talk. And assuming that they get along with you, know you, like you, trust you, you know, the finances are there and the price is right sort of thing, great.
Right.
But it's really everything lines up. And the fourth one I just want to say is personalization. If you're using stock photos, your competitor could be using the same image.
Yeah.
You will actually look generic. And if you're trying to tell someone that you are just generic, then so be it. But if you're saying to me, I am about customer service and we care about people and you're using stock images to say this, that's a contradiction. Mm-hmm. We need to be, and here's the word in life, we're all about consistency. It's about consistency. So if okay. I say I'm professional and I act professional and I am professional, at least look professional. But I am. When I chose a stock image with a guy in a suit and the suit looks like, but he's talked about, you know, you're number one in service. You're always here to, you can always pick up the phone, talk to someone. That's not a someone. It's got a fake image by a guy who's just an actor. Mm-hmm. Not true. Yeah. So the believer, you know, the believability, if that's even a word and stuff, is not there. It's kind of disconnected. And once that's broken, we're here to build trust, not disconnect it and stuff. So all these different trust factors. And my final one is, and final two, sorry, is do you have any proof of every claim you make? So I don't mm-hmm. care if you say I'm the best in the world, then prove you are the best in the world. Oh, mm-hmm. we are the top lawyers in this town. Prove it. You can say what you want. It's just a claim until you prove it. So that's why people use awards, accreditations, case studies, testimonials, all these visual social proofs. And again, if you actually look at Dr. Robert Cialdini, who wrote the book Persuasion and Influence, mm-hmm. social proof is where it's at when it comes to persuasion mm-hmm. and gaining that trust. So definitely that. And my last one is this. Imagine if I'd gone on that first date and I did all the right things. I listened to Erwin, I got the suit, and I'm looking sharp, and I asked the questions, I explained who I was, I gave my value, I had all the proof and stuff. And at the end of the date, you know what? I went above and beyond. I paid for the meal. I drove the person home and stuff like that. And then I just walked off. And when you forgot the last step.
You forgot to ask for the second date.
You didn't ask for the second date. You didn't ask for the number. Well, what was that all for? And so my last one, which actually sometimes should be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Where are your call to actions?
Yeah.
Have you actually asked someone, have you invited someone to do something? Phone number, email, form, a callback, anything. And I'm just not just asking one option. Imagine going on a date and you said to me, I said, are you free Friday? You go, no. I'm going, okay, cool. No. Like what about Saturday? What about Monday morning? How about breakfast mm-hmm. on Sunday? You got to eat sometime, you know, sort of thing. Hey, how about I pick you up from work? Like, you come up with options, right? And so with those call to actions, don't just go, oh, Erwin, I've already got that. Like, I ask somebody, where's your call to actions? They go, oh, down there. There.
Yeah.
What, so you're just giving someone one option? And I had a bit of a chat with a friend of mine who was also a conversion specialist. And we had this laugh. What if the person's an extrovert and you gave them an email? What if they're an introvert, but you only gave them a phone number? What if I'm a detailed person, but you didn't actually give me anywhere to write? Or,
yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? So my question is not have a call to action. I'm saying have multiple call to actions because you have no idea if the person that you're talking to has lots of information, is brief as a bear, or they're super detailed as a deer, you know, sort of thing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, which one are they? Are they extrovert? They just want to ramble on for next hour? Or they just go, nothing to say. I need a website. Enter, you know? Have you catered for all of it? Oh, no, we only have this one. Well, you've excluded that side.
Mm.
No, this one, I excluded that side. And I'm saying, so there's an ad here in Australia that talks about, you know, taco. There's a taco ad about soft shells and hard shells. I don't know if you know that one. There's a point where this girl goes, why not have both soft shell and hard shell tacos? And everyone cheers and goes, yeah, we should have everything, you know? And so in the same breath, let's not have one call to action or another.
Yeah.
Let's have all of them. But do it in a way that doesn't look like, I mean, we don't want to look like neon signs going, whoa, pick this. No, click that. Do this. Do that.
Yeah.
You know, just be tasteful about it. But let's have multiple call to actions that are clear, concise, and prominent, which is really what Conversion Cult is at its heart.
Yeah.
In a non-intrusive way that hopefully, like the Homer Simpson lady, just kind of just blends in, coming in and out without being too annoying. So. That's it.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to try Conversion Cal. You sold me and we weren't even talking about that.
Thank you.
But But no, this has been awesome. So where can people find you and learn a little bit more about what you guys do as a website development company and as, and of course, Conversion Cow?
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, for those who want to connect with me, like I said, my name's Erwin Howe. Erwin as in Steve Erwin, Howe as in H-A-U. Feel free to touch base with me on LinkedIn. Let me know where you heard that you heard it from this podcast. Love to connect and say hi. And feel free to check out our websites, Chromatics being our flagship company. It's been 14 years now, actually, but chromatix.com.au. And for our software, Conversion Cow, so Conversion, C-O-N-V-E-R-S-I-O-N, cow is in the moo cow, cow.com. So milk your website for more leads or beef up your website.
Oh, nice.
You know, I've thought that one before and stuff like that. Yeah, look forward to connecting. And for those who, I also run my own consulting just to help assist businesses, grow businesses, that sort of thing, which is erwinhowe.com. Feel free to jump on that as well. But that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been an awesome interview. I think I've learned a lot about websites. I'm always curious about how to make improvements. So this is a lovely way to get that information.
Fantastic. And if anyone's ever curious and goes, hey, do you mind just checking out my website and stuff like that? Yeah, feel free to hit me up and stuff. More than happy to give a couple of minutes just to kind of give you the obvious ones and stuff. And
yeah. So, thank okay. you so much. All right.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you guys next time, and keep on listening.